This story happens in the olden days in the country of Turkey. Turkey, besides being a certain kind of a gobbling animal, like a big chicken that gobbles, is the name of a country that's still there. It used to be even a greater, more powerful country than it is now, but this is a long time ago. And there was a city called Gumulgina. Everybody heard of Gumulgina? Well, you're laughing. If they heard of the name New York, they'd also laugh. You laugh at Gumulgina, they laugh at New York. What a funny name. Now, like, of course, many cities and towns, you have the market streets, the marketplaces, the stores. Yes? All right. On one of the streets in Gumulgina was a grocery store. Now, the story did not say the name of the Yid. It just kept saying the Yid. Let's call him Reb Yaakov so we have a name. Otherwise, it's very difficult to tell the story. So if somebody says, is it true? Well, it's a true story. If his name wasn't Reb Yaakov, and if it was Reb Ephraim or something, it still doesn't matter because it's just easier for us to follow the story if we give him a name. So, we shall call the Jew Reb Yaakov. He had a grocery store. And he sold all the delicious kinds of groceries that are sold in a nice grocery store. The problem was that there was walking down the street a certain Greek, because in Turkey was also living Greeks, just like in Greece lives Turkeys. Not Turkeys, but, well, there's also Turkeys, but Turks. A person from Turkey is called a Turk. The animal turkey is called a turkey. So as well as turkeys being in Greece, you have Greeks being in Greece. But this is talking about Turkey. So as well as Turks being in Turkey and turkeys being in Turkey, you also have Greeks in Turkey. What difference does it make? I don't know. But the story says there was a Greek in this story. And it also does not say his name. And I don't want to say the Greek, the Jew, the Yid. So we're calling the Yid Reb Yaakov, and the Greek we're calling him Mikanos. Not Mickey Mouse, but Mikanos. Mikanos, the Greek. Now you can tell by his name he's Greek, so we'll call him Mikanos. Mikanos is walking down the street. He says, let's see, I need money. How will I get money? Well, a store makes money. Look at that store, full of people buying stuff. Yeah, look at all that food. Yeah, people always need food. People have to eat. And they have to go to the store to get food. Let's see, whose store is this? Look! Look at that man, a beard. One of those yarmulkes. He has those strings coming out of his pants. It's one of those religious Jews. And he has such a store full of people. Not just Jewish people. Non-Jewish people shopping at his store. Looks like a nice store. Not Jewish people shopping at his store. Well, oh, look, across the street, an empty store for rent. If I opened up a store across the street, I could get a better store, a nicer store. All those people would come to me, and they would buy my stuff. I would have a lot of people at my store. I'd get the money. And in fact, maybe his store would be empty of people. In fact, maybe he'll go away if I open up a store across the street, take away all of his business and customers. And I'll have a store even nicer than his, and I'll have all of his people coming to me, because after all, I mean, they'd rather shop by me than him. I mean, who wants to shop by a Jew anyway? And especially if you have across the street my store, Mykonos' market. The market of Mykonos. I'll call it a good name. That's good. Looks like a good business to open a grocery store. Okay, Mykonos' market. Mykonos's magnificent market. Mykonos make money in Mykonos's market. Yes, sir. Okay. So Mykonos opened up a grocery store, Mykonos's market, across the street from Reb Yaakov's grocery store. Right across the street from Reb Yaakov's grocery store is Mykonos's market. Mykonos's marvelous market. Now, by the way, would a Jew be allowed to open up a grocery store right across the street from another Jew? It's called Hasagas Gvul. You're taking away his business. Go a few blocks away and take people from there, but don't take away somebody's business. You cannot do that. Well, where does all the food come from a market? I mean, the food doesn't grow in the market, does it? No, you have to go buy stuff. Well, either a businessman came to the market, or like Rabbi Yaakov, he would wake up very early in the morning. He would daven very early, and he would go to the place where market people buy their stuff, and he would buy the freshest milk, the freshest cheese, the freshest butter, and he would buy the freshest rolls and bread, the most delicious cakes, the freshest fruit and vegetables, and the best stuff, coffee and tea, the best stuff. Well, he would bring it to his store, and he would make sure that the place is clean and nice, and everything is arranged on the shelves nicely, and he would arrange everything neatly so that when his store opens, people come in. They come in the store. Nice store, very nice. And he was friendly to people. He smiled. He took care of people. He said, good morning. How are you today? How do you feel? How are the kids? And sometimes the little kiddies would come into the shop, the store. Even Jewish children and even non-Jewish children, he would smile and give a little candy or a little cookie. How do you think people felt going shopping in such a nice store with fresh good food and a friendly shopkeeper?
Good.
It'd feel good. And his prices were fair. I'm not saying he's cheap or getting the best deal. He charged a fair price. Now, in those days also, as well as these days, you know, you have a scale and you weigh stuff on the scale. You want to buy sugar? Well, in these days, you go to the store, there's already a bag of sugar. In those days, well, maybe you even bring your own bag or your own bottle or something like that. They didn't necessarily give you all the containers. And you want to buy, let's say, a pound of sugar. Well, you have a scale, okay? Two sides. You want a pound of sugar? Okay. On one side, you put a weight, like a piece of metal, and that weighs exactly a pound. On the other side, you put just a light piece of paper, or you put a very light bag, or if you bring your own, let's say, glass jar, he weighs that, put something that he knows how much that weighs, so that doesn't count, whatever it is. But let's say you just a light bag, you put a bag down. You start pouring the sugar on the other side of the scale, right? Now, as soon as you put the metal on this side of the scale, it goes down. And this side is up. You start pouring the sugar on this side of the scale, it starts getting heavier and heavier until this side of the scale goes down and this side of the scale goes up. Now, what happens when they're exactly equal? What does that mean? That means you have exactly a pound of sugar. If the sugar side goes down a little bit, it means that you have more than a pound. If the metal on this side is down and the sugar side is up, it means you have less than a pound. Now, Rabbi Yaakov, whenever he would weigh out something, like sugar or salt, or he would weigh out fruit or grapes or flour or whatever he's selling, coffee, sometimes they would buy coffee, a lot of coffee at a time, and put it into a bag, what would he do? He would not only make sure the scale is equal, he would give a little bit more so that the sugar side or the salt side would be a little bit more than the weight, so people get extra. Because chas v'shalom, to cheat a person, even a penny, he would rather give a little bit more than a little bit less. Because if you give less, and you're saying, I'm selling you a pound of sugar, and you're giving a little bit less than a pound, that is what?
Yeah.
Stealing. And he never wanted to come close, chas v'shalom, to stealing. So he would always add a little bit, be fair. And so that's why people came to his store. They loved to shop in his store. And of course, when they would eat the food from his store, they'd always say, ah, fresh cheese and fresh rolls and fresh bread and delicious coffee and tea and sweet sugar, delicious tomatoes and geschmacka potatoes. And everything was the best. Kinalach Mikanos opened up his store. Well, first of all, he says, if I get more stuff in my store than the Jew across the street, I'll make more money. So I'm going to put a lot more stuff in my store. So he crowded his store with shelves and places. So when you go in there, it's very crowded because he wants to get more stuff in his store. So it wasn't also arranged so nicely and neatly. So you have to sometimes climb up to get a tomato way up on top or something, or an apple. Where's the apples? Where's the onions? It's over there. It's over there. Things are falling one top of the other. He didn't exactly organize his store so well. You know, the apples over here, the onions over there, the sugar's over there. Sometimes the onion goes into the sugar, and sometimes the salt falls down on top of the cheese, and the cheese gets salty. And that's one thing. It was a Mishka Babli store that had too much stuff and not enough space, and it was hard to reach things. This is Mikanos' store. Then, Mikanos, when he goes shopping for the stuff in the morning, and he sees Reb Yaakov, well, you know, there's better stuff and there's worse stuff. The better stuff costs more money. The worse stuff is cheaper. You can buy apples. Every apple is beautiful. Every apple is big and juicy and crunchy and fresh. Then, a few feet down is another man. Hey, who wants a good deal on apples? Who wants cheaper apples? Oh, cheaper, Mikanos says. If I buy cheaper and I sell at good price, I make more money. That's right. Let's see, that Rabbi Yaakov, he sell the apple a pound for 50 cents, so I sell a pound for 50 cents. He sells the apples you buy for more expensive. I sell cheaper apple, what I buy, but I sell for the same price. So let me make the money, yeah. Oh, the apple, okay. Let's see, one side from the apple, squishy. It brown. The other side, beautiful. I turn the apple this way. People see nice apple, so they don't say the other side. They take apple. I put it in bag for them. Nice apple. Yeah, beautiful apple. They don't see the squishy side. Hey, they only see the nice side. Hey, it's good. Hey, Yaakov, he buy the nice apple. Both sides nice. He pay more money. Oh, I make a good trick. I am buying a squishy apple, but only one side squishy, the other side nice. I show the person, nice apple, beautiful, you want? Yeah. I sell it even cheaper than Yankel across the street. He sell 50, I sell 48. You save 2 cents. Good. Oh, save 2 cents. Okay, 2 cents is 2 cents. The problem is, Reb Yaakov is giving a beautiful apple on both sides, and he's giving a half-rotten apple and showing you the nice side. Like a chazer, right? The chazer, the piggy says, look, I'm kosher. He sticks out his foot and he shows you a split hoof. One of the signs of kosher is a split hoof. The pig, the chazer, has a split hoof. He says, look, I'm kosher. Now, you only see his foot. The problem is, there's two signs for a kosher animal. A kosher animal has to chew his cud. The piggy doesn't chew his cud, but he's only showing you half of it. He's not showing you the other half. Yeah, look, I'm kosher! But he's really not kosher, is he? Mykonos shows a beautiful apple, but you don't see the other side. He shows you a beautiful tomato, but you don't see the other side. Well, not exactly raw. Raw tomato's not bad. But what about a yucky, mushy tomato on the other side that you wouldn't want to eat? But he's showing you the other side. Okay. Well, you can buy fresh cheese and fresh butter and fresh milk, and you have to pay the good price. Well, if you go to somebody else down the street, cheese, 2 days old, milk, a day old, cheap price, butter, a week old, who wants to buy it? It'll last you maybe today. Oh, how much? Cheap price. Oh, listen, looks the same almost. Well, let me get the cheaper cheese, and let me get the cheaper butter, and let me get the older milk, and I'll make more money. And so you put this stuff in the store. Well, the store didn't exactly smell as nice, and it didn't look as nice. But Mykonos is standing out in front of his store. Who wants to buy food for a cheaper price? Come to my store. I give a good deal, the best stuff and the cheapest price in town. Come to my store and shop by me. Well, people see a new store. They're very interested. They go shopping. His store is full. Yankel, Rabbi Yaakov's store is empty. And, of course, he's selling now for cheaper, and people are buying stuff. And he took away a lot of Rabbi Yaakov's business until the people would go home, and they start eating the stuff, taking it out of the bag. Oh, let's look at this apple that we bought, cheaper than the Jew across the street. And they start to eat it. It's good. Turn it around. Ooh, what's this yucky big brown spot, ugh. And the kids would say, Mommy, I don't want to eat that fruit, it's yucky. But I paid for it, I got a good deal on it. I can't eat it, it's a yucky brown. Eat the other side. Hey, we didn't see this side, we only saw the other side. Hey, Mommy, can I have a glass of milk? Oh, sure, here's milk. We just bought it by Mykonos' grocery store, Mykonos' market. And she pours out the milk. It smells. Smells? Wait, it looks so good in the store. Let me smell it. And somebody else drinks the milk. I have a stomachache. The milk was spoiled. It was good in the store. Well, by the time it got home, it wasn't good anymore. The same with the cheese and the same with the butter. And people realize that Mykonos is, you know, he's not exactly giving them the best stuff. And even his prices are good. It's not worth it. And Rabbi Yaakov's store started getting filled up again. Besides the fact that Mykonos was always trying to bargain the price and make you a deal. And, you know, he's talking and he's kind of nervous and he's trying to get more money out of you. And you can't find the stuff. And by Rabbi Yaakov, it's always the same fair prices. And no haggling, and no arguing, and no hawking a chinik. And beautiful stuff, easy to find, and a smile. And so Rabbi Yaakov's store filled up again. And people did not go to Mykonos, unless, of course, they didn't, you know, they were, it's the first time, and they're walking down the street, maybe he's going to grab them to come in. But when Mykonos saw that Rabbi Yaakov's store is full again with people, he starts getting jealous. And he starts to get very jealous and hate Rabbi Yaakov. And then he says to himself, he wants to get rid of that store. Then nobody will have a choice. They'll have to come to him. Across the street, it'll close down. And Mykonos' marvelous market will be the only one on the street. Well, how can I get people to come only to me and not to Rabbi Yaakov? Ooh, I have an idea. I have a good idea. This is what Mykonos did. Now you have to understand, Mykonos has two cupboards behind the counter that nobody sees except him. If somebody wants to buy a pound of sugar, he takes out a weight of a pound, and on the other side of the scale, he pours out a pound of sugar. And that's how he sells it, right? Now, sometimes the sugar salesman would come to the markets to sell. They come around to the stores. Now, let's say a sugar man would come to the store wanting to sell Mykonos sugar. He opened up another cupboard and he took out another weight of a pound. Now, what was the difference? The weight of the pound in the second cupboard was more than the first cupboard. He made trick weights. So, if the sugar man comes selling the sugar to the store, Mykonos would say, okay, I'll buy a pound of your sugar. So later on, I'll sell it to people. So he takes from the second cupboard a heavy pound weight, which was heavier than a pound, but it looked like a pound. And he put it on the scale. And he says to the man, okay, pour on the scale a pound of sugar. The man pours a pound of sugar until the weight goes up. Now, is Mykonos getting a pound or more than a pound? He's getting more than a pound, and he pays the man, let's say, $1 for the sugar. Well, he got more than a pound. Okay. The man leaves. Somebody comes to the store later to buy sugar. Okay? Now, he's going to sell the sugar, let's say, for $1.50. Okay? Let's say he does that. Mykonos would do that. A person comes shopping, I need a pound of sugar. Oh, no problem. He takes from the first cupboard, the lightweight, and he puts it on. It looks like a pound, but it's lighter than a pound. And he pours out the sugar on the scale, and he says, here's your pound of sugar. Give me the $1.50. So, what happened? He got the $1.50, plus in the sugar box, he's got extra sugar. Because when he bought it, he bought more than a pound. When he sold it, he sold less than a pound. Do you understand how Mykonos does business? Yeah. Tricky weights. By the way, according to the Torah, a person in a store has to have a scale that works perfectly. If the scale does not work perfectly, it's an aveda to have such a scale. You must make sure that all of your weights and measures are fair and perfect. That you should never, chas v'shalom, cheat anybody and steal because you're not giving them what you're saying. Mykonos has a plan with these tricky weights to put Rabbi Yaakov out of business. And so, Mykonos wants to put Rabbi Yaakov out of business, that he should have the only store on the street in Gumbelgina. At least in that street. Now, to make a nicer store, better prices and better stuff, doesn't want. You know, he wants to get the cheap junky stuff, charge money for it, get the old milk, the old cheese, the day-old bread, the two-day-old cakes. Yes, of course, the weekday-old peanut butter, you know. Nobody likes old peanut butter, right? Nothing worse than an old peanut butter sandwich. Well, the thing is, Rabbi Yaakov had the fresh stuff, the good stuff, the smile on his face, the good prices. He didn't cheat. He didn't fool around with the tomatoes and the potatoes and the onions. And he knows that's the way to make good business, is to keep the customer happy with good stuff, and then they'll keep coming back. What's better in business? What is better in business? You get the customer one time and he goes home and gets upset at you, or he keeps coming back because he says, this is a good place to go shopping. Keeps coming back. But Mykonos wants to put Rabbi Yaakov out of business, and this is what he did. I told you about his weights. He's got light weights and heavy weights. I told you about his weights?
Yeah.
Okay. So one time, when Mykonos was in a bad mood, jealous and upset that Rabbi Yaakov is having so much business and he doesn't, he saw a big Turkish goy, a big Turk, walk out carrying packages and bags from Rabbi Yaakov's store. And all of a sudden, Mykonos got a plan in his head. He says, Hey, come here. I want to talk to you. What do you want? You go shopping in that store, Rabbi Yaakov, that market there by that Jew? Yeah, I went shopping there. It's good stuff there. I always go shopping there. And what's your name? My name is Salim. Salim? Yeah. What's your name? My name is Mykonos. What? Mickey Mouse? No, Mykonos, not Mickey Mouse. Mykonos. Don't you see the sign on my store? Mykonos. Marvelous market. You can't read? Oh, I could read. I just didn't bother to read your sign. I read the other sign, Reb Yaakov's Market. I go to Reb Yaakov's Market. Oh, well, why you don't look Mykonos? Well, I like Reb Yaakov. Good stuff. He's an honest man. Or maybe we say, a honest man. He's an honest man. And he gives good stuff all the time. I like him, Rabbi. He's a rabbi, I think. A Jew. Rab Yaakov, they call him. Reb Yaakov's Market. I didn't think to come to your market because I like to go his market. And Mykonos says, Salim, you know, I hate to tell you this, but this Jew cheats you. No. Salim doesn't believe what Mykonos. Salim does not believe what Mykonos. Okay. Salim doesn't believe this. Reb Yaakov is an honest man. He knows to cheat. He gives everybody fair stuff. Good stuff, nice. And a smile on his face. Mykonos says, I will prove to you that Reb Yaakov cheats. What did you buy? What's in this bag? Oh, I bought sugar. I go home, have a nice cup of coffee. What I bought also by Reb Yaakov, tea. Nice, fresh stuff. I put milk in the coffee. Yeah, one time I went to somebody's house. In fact, I remember, had a cup of coffee. I put the milk in. The milk was spoiled. It spoiled the coffee. Ech. I asked him, where you get such a milk? You got an old milk? He says, I bought the milk today. I remember he says your grocery to Mickey Mouse grocery. Mykonos, not Mickey Mouse. Yeah, I remember he mentioned that. Yeah, since then, you know, I get the fresh stuff. I don't like the old stuff. I'd rather pay more, have a good cup of coffee instead of fool around with the old spoiled stuff. Forget about it. This is not my style. Yeah, but I tell you, Salim, that the Jew cheat, and I'll prove to you. You buy sugar, yes? The sugar? How much you buy sugar? I buy a pound of sugar. What's the problem? A pound of sugar. And Mykonos says to Salim, I prove to you that this is not a pound of sugar. It's less because the Jew cheats. I know what he does. I know his tricks. You know, the tricky Jew. No, he gives a pound of sugar. I know. I see. No, I show you. Watch this. I take out from my drawer the weight, a pound. You see, it says a pound. Read this, Salim. 1 pound. Or maybe he says bound. I don't know how they speak over there. Okay, 1 pound. Good. Put it on the scale. How much sugar you say you get? 1 pound. Okay, put it on the scale. It should be the same, right? Well, Kinalach, the pound of sugar went up and the pound weight went down. a little bit. So the pound weight was lower and the pound sugar was higher. Mykonos says, see, the pound weight is lower, which means, no, the pound weight is lower. The pound sugar on the other side, not the same, higher. If you would add more sugar, it would be same. Watch what I do. I get from mine delicious sugar. He pours some sugar on the scale. When he poured more sugar on the scale, it was equal.